And we really, and Joe, you did a great job in reading. Boy, you can understand him and hear him well, can't you? Well, we've had a request, and that request is that we sing God is so good. And let's try something different this morning. Don't get up. Keep seated. Now, those of you who want to get up, don't get up. Those of you who can't get up, don't get up. All we want to do is just sing. So, seated together, let's sing, God is so good, God is so good. Now, everybody sing. Preaching. Greatest preacher that ever lived upon this earth was Jesus Christ. What did he preach about? It's interesting that he preached a lot about hypocrites. Who wants to be a hypocrite? Nobody. Why would Jesus use this word? And from the Greek you have hypocrites. And why preach on this? And especially the religious people. And I've spent hours and hours this last week not only in studying, I want this sermon to be just right to please Him. I hope it will please you. I hope it will encourage every one of us to listen to what Jesus has to say. Yes, did you know that this hypocrisy, which is a Greek word, was used as for an actor. The actor pretended to be someone he was not and would sometimes wear a mask to cover his real identity. This is a picture of what our word hypocrite means today. Webster's dictionary gives this definition of hypocrisy. A feigning to be what one is not or to believe what one does not. He's just pretending. Did you know hypocrisy, or form of that word, is used 40 times in the Bible? And Jesus had more to say on this sin than anyone else in the Bible, and the target of his rebukes were most often the Pharisees, religious people. His words to them and other religious leaders gives us his definition of what a hypocrite really is. Do you ever really feel like you were a hypocrite? I have. Why? And I don't like that feeling. I'm preaching this sermon hoping that it will help all of us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. You know, you can find so many wonderful lessons about Noah, Genesis 6:20. He did everything God commanded him concerning building the ark. About Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 5. About Saul of Tarsus, who said that he was the chief of sinners. But the Bible tells us about a man named Stephen. And he was real direct. Why? He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." Why would anybody preach like that? Would anybody in 2018 want a preacher to get up and preach like that? And Nathan, when he came to David, he told David about the story. And finally, when David was all wrath, he said, "You're the man I'm talking about. Do we really want sermons directed to us? After all, look who we are." John, in 3 John verses 9 and 10, wrote about a man in the church who wanted to have the preeminence above all. Who in the world would want that? Diotrephes. And then here is Jesus, the master teacher. And look what he says. Let's listen to an example. In Luke 13, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Can you imagine that? And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. My sister is 85, my oldest sister. And she's bowed over like this. She can't even lift herself up. That's like this woman. Can you imagine somebody being like that? When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Wow! What did Jesus do? He healed her. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said, and then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Boy, everybody's happy. Thrilled to death. Why? This woman who was like this could now stand up straight. Boy, if I could see my sister like that again, I'd be thrilled to death. 18 years, this woman of whom. Guess what? The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day." What? You mean you're criticizing Jesus for healing somebody? The Lord answered him and said, "You're a hypocrite." Whoa. Why would Jesus do that? He was. He was a hypocrite. "Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" Why are you being criticized? Why are you criticizing him? "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed." They ought to have been. Why? They had been critical of what Jesus did for this woman. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let me tell you something, friends. When you look in Job 8, verse 13, "So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish." When you look at Job 13, verse 16, "He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him." When you look at Job 15, verse 34, "For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, fire consume the tabernacles of bribery." When you look at Job 17, verse 8, "Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite." When you look at Job 20 and verse 5, "That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment." And you consider Job 27, verse 8, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?" Job 34 and verse 30, "That the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared." Job 36 verse 13, "But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath, they cry not when he bindeth them." And then you read Proverbs, "And the wise man said, an hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." And then you look at Isaiah the prophet, "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fathers and widows, for every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Isaiah continues, "The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites." You read in Matthew then, verse 6, "Look, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do." Who said that, Jesus? When I look again to Matthew 6 and verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That's all they're going to get. And then he says again, Matthew 6, verse, "When you fast, Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Who is saying all this? Who is preaching like that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 7, verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Again, Matthew 15, 7, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, but then listen, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and low. Oh, you hypocrites, you know what? You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Then we read again, Matthew 22, 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Who said that? Jesus. And look, in Matthew 23, and boy, this is really interesting. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are in and in to go in. Matthew 23, verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and hypocrites, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater condemnation. Who's saying that? Jesus. In Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. Again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Matthew 23, 23, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier laws, matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. The most important things, Jesus said, you were not do it. Boy. Matthew 23, 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. Boy, you wash it clean, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Again, Matthew 23, 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Matthew 24, 51, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He answered and said to them in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's the Lord. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou sayest, beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Luke 11, 44, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Luke 12, 56. Luke 13, verse 15, the Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his own ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to what? I couldn't believe it. You've listened to me as I've read to you the words of God at least 40, and I told Troy to have 3 pieces of paper ready today. He tries to jot down every passage I use. Friends, I was so impressed with that. I want to preach like Jesus, loving people. People who want to go to heaven. I know my heart. I know I want to go to heaven. I don't want to hurt anybody. Never. May God help me that never happened to me. But woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Matthew 23, verse 23. I couldn't get that on a lot large print. But did you notice? In Matthew chapter 23, look at this. Jesus called them hypocrites 7 times. He called them blind guides 5 times. He called them fools 2 times. Serpents and brood of vipers 1. Who did he speak to? The religious people, the Pharisees. They were doing acts of righteousness just to be seen of men, Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4. They were praying. Can you imagine an individual making long prayers just to be heard of men? Fasting with gloomy faces, Matthew 6, 16 through 18, so as to be seen by men. Judging the sins of others when they were guilty of committing the same sins. Boy, we've got a thing in America today. Is the man guilty? Is the woman guilty? If someone makes an accusation against them and can't even prove it? Do we do the same thing? Honoring God with their lips. Their hearts was far away from Him. Jesus said that. Matthew 15, 7 through 8, you hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draws near unto me with their mouth. It's not what God wants. You can sing all day. You can pray all day. But what God wants is you. That's what He wants of me. He wants us. And He wants our hearts to be right with Him. It's not lip service. Why, people draw near Jesus unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. I don't want to be like that. And not practicing what they... I get up here and I preach. And sometimes I don't always live right, and I ask God to forgive me. And maybe sometimes I've done something which is wrong and I want to get it corrected. And if you know anything, you tell me. I want to be right with God. And I want you to be right with God. And I want every one of us. Not a one of us. Not a one of us be a hypocrite. Every preacher, every teacher, every Christian needs to listen to our Lord. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, he said to Pharisees, that observe and do. But he said, do not ye after their works, for they say, and they don't do it. Have you ever heard of people like that? Tell you exactly what others ought to be doing, and they don't do nothing. Looking good on the outside and being impure in the inside. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. I do the dishes sometimes for my wife. Boy, she's kind of particular about making sure that that cup and that saucer and everything was really washed clean. Do you ever feel like, well, if you want it washed like that, maybe you ought to do it? I don't know. But we know what that means. How would you like to pick up a pretty bowl to put your cereal in? And when you get it to the table, you can see all the stuff around. And guess what? Dirty, filthy. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Do a thorough job of your washing. Woe unto scribes and Pharisees, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outward appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. These people, and we have some today, I'm afraid, they're self-righteous. You know, when you look at Matthew, or rather Acts 7, there's Stephen. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. You always resist the Holy Ghost. Why was Stephen so bold? He wanted them to do right. He called out to Jesus, did too. Paul writes in Romans 10, in verses 1 through 3, that these were Jews. And they were Jews who were doing what they wanted to do, what they thought was right. But what is right? Listen to the book. I want to be like, I want to be right, don't you? Jesus also said that those who participate in hypocrisy, there are about three things I want you to observe. Number one, it will be revealed. If Guy McDaniel is a hypocrite, then Guy McDaniel is going to have to pay for it if he doesn't change. In the meantime, when they were gathered together in a numerous multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He just talked over and over about that. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater condemnation or damnation. I was reading about that particular thing and how there were people during Jesus' day. They would go and they pray for the widows and sometimes pray 3 hours. What they wanted was what the widow had to get her money. Wow. What a hypocrite. You shall receive greater condemnation. Jesus said that. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater condemnation. But then, our Lord said this. Here's what's going to happen. He shall cut him off asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, there's so many examples in the Peter. He had to be reprimanded by Paul. David, Nathan the prophet had to call his hand. Ananias and Sapphira, people who did what? Who were not really what they ought to be. Am I a hypocrite? Somebody says, I don't want to be in the church where there are hypocrites. That's where the hypocrites are. They see Christians and churches condemning different sins, yet living a life of sin themselves. They're not totally wrong on this charge either, because some Christians drink socially, look at porn, smoke, fornicate, live together with the opposite sex, unmarried, commit adultery, sue each other, and more and more and more. Isn't that the way to live? Why? The Bible tells us in James verse 27, pure religion is what? Being unspotted from the world. Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to the world. James 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? If any man will be a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. All of us Christians, every one of us must avoid the sin of hypocrisy. We must work to make our lives match up with our words. We must live our lives in a way that the world will see something different in us and want what we have. We must be the salt and the light. We must stand out in our love and love without hypocrisy, Romans 12. Now, we must forgive, as Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 23. We must be meek, Ephesians 4, 30. And so much, and I beg you to pray for me to be more like this. I want to be more like Jesus. I just want to preach like Him because He loved these people so much is I love you, and I think you love me. The years have been such a joy, but you know and I know the days are coming when we will have to leave. I want to be more like Jesus. Yes, that I may be a better person, a better preacher, a better teacher. I'm praying for you because I want you to be ready. I hope and pray there's not a single one of you that misses the joy of being in heaven forevermore. If we've missed that, friends, we've missed everything. Yes, Sister Foy was in her 80s when we took her out to eat. I was a much younger man. And we were sitting, she was telling me at that age that all the things she was doing. And I said to her, Sister Irene Foy in Nashville, Tennessee, as we were sitting there in the cafeteria, I said, Sister Foy, it seems like you're doing more than you've ever done. How are you doing it? She said, Brother Guy, I have so much to do, but I have so little time left to do it in. She died at age 88. But boy, was she ever a worker in the kingdom of God. You see, friends, we're all, many of us, so much closer to the end. And I don't want to hear my Lord say to Guy McDaniel, Guy, I don't even know you. Why didn't you live like you preach? And boy, that's hard. It caused me to search my soul. Because I really want to go to heaven when I die. If you're not a Christian this morning, I hope when you stand up that you'll come and become a child of God now. You have that opportunity when you can walk, or you can get around. Get up here now. Say you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and really mean it. And if you're a child of God, a Christian in your heart, you know that you're not right. Your heart is not right with God. Ask God to forgive you and let's pray with you and for you. What a wonderful thing it is to know that our Lord Jesus Christ preached. And He loved these people so much. And there was a verse that Ann and I were talking about when we were coming over here that I want to conclude with. You remember how that Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Can you imagine the feelings of the Master? How much He loves every one of us, and He wants to save every one of us. But how can He save you if you're not one of His children, or one who is truly, truly doing, and from your heart, serving the Lord? We're singing this song of invitation. If you're subject to any way and we can help you, won't you come while together we stand in